As you know, I started a series on the Ten Commandments two Sundays ago, and it's going to go for I think four Sundays, and this is the but there's a gap between each one. So, like my father's back next week, and he'll speak, and I think I'll get the one after that. Of course, plans can change, as you know, but that's the plan. So I started. I thought I'd just give a quick summary of what I went through last week, but obviously the audio is on the net if you're interested. And we can move on. So we started, the reason, you know, we have the picture of the weights up on the screen, and I was telling the story last time of the feast of King Belshazzar in 539 BC, about 2,500 years ago. And he was the Babylonian king who had taken the Jews out of Israel and had them in captivity. And they're having a great party. They went for a long time, I think, you know. And in the middle of that party, the hand, like a finger wrote across the wall that said, "Meeni, meeni, tekel, upharsin," which means numbered, weighed, and divided. And the prophecy that Daniel brought was that you have, you know, you have been numbered, your kingdoms have been numbered, it has been weighed up, and you were found wanting, and therefore your kingdom will be divided. And that very night, King Belshazzar was killed. Darius the Mede came in and took over that kingdom. That was that night, October 539 BC. So that's what happened. And why I decided to pull out that that one story from the Old Testament was it's there's only a few occasions where you see, you know, the hand of God write physically into something. You know, it wrote physically into a wall. And we remember those words in Scripture. And of course, another time in the Old Testament is the Ten Commandments, when God wrote on those tablets, the ten, you know, the ten laws. So, what I wanted to talk about over this series was, you know, maybe reconsidering those Ten Commandments, and maybe hopping into the scales ourselves. You know, put a commandment on one side and sit on the other, and just see how we go. Now, the great thing is we are saved by grace. The great thing is Jesus is our righteousness. And he paid the price. That's the good thing, but we are instructed several times in the New Testament to examine ourselves, to test ourselves, to continue working out our salvation. So it's not just a flippant thing. And today we're examining. You know, we'll put a commandment in one side, we'll hop in the other, and we just examine it, knowing that Jesus is our righteousness. I quickly go over quickly what I spoke about law and grace. I said that law is defines sin, it demonstrates that then sin separates us from God, and then it shows that the penalty for that sin is death. And we all break the law. The good thing is grace is the revelation that Christ's redemptive mission is the only remedy for sin. So here we go. Are we ready to be weighed? Now, last time I did commandments 1 and 2, and you know, just commandment one, I was really focusing on the fact that God does not want to be number one priority in your life. He wants to be the center of everything. It's not tick him off for half an hour in the morning and then do what you like. He wants to be in your money, in your marriage, in your church, every single thing. He's the middle, okay? Not number one, the middle of everything, okay? Everything you do comes from him. He's the center of your circle and you aren't. That was commandment number one. Commandment number two was about, you know, worshiping other idols. And, you know, we spoke about, you know, the time we possibly spent in front of our little idols that we've set up in the corner of our room, like TVs and phones, you know, coffee clubs, you know, all the different things that we tend to attend and what sort of time we put into other things. And, you know, in the end, when we need a break and when we need to get out of our slavery, who is our exodus? Is it the TV or is it Christ? You know? So number three. The commandment is in Exodus 20, verse 7. Do not misuse the name of the Lord your God, because the Lord will not leave anyone unpunished who misuses his name. This is from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. But the common thing that we've all heard for this commandment is do not use the Lord's name in vain. We'd be quite used to that. Don't use the name of God in vain. And the interesting about this commandment, which I sort of never realized before reading it, was it actually says it twice. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord. Don't use it in vain. the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who uses his name in vain. It's like a double punch, 1-2 in the one verse. And, you know, so it's serious. And we know from the Old Testament, before Christ came along, that there was people who used the name of the Lord in vain and they died as a result. And for me personally, I don't think using the name of the God in vain is not just about swearing, okay? I don't condone swearing, especially using the name of God in vain. But I don't think it's just about that. I think that's a small part of what that commandment actually means. And this is all, it's all about how we worship God. I mean, we'd be in serious trouble even if it was just about using the name of God in vain. I don't know how many of you have been on Facebook or Twitter lately, but the amount of OMG on the Facebook and Twitter, if there was the judgment that there was in the Old Testament for that sort of language, we'd have a lot of internet traffic available to us because, you know, it's crass language and it happens constantly. And it's not in just non-Christian circles. I see it all the time. And we have to consider that seriously. But the first thing I want to say about God's name is we don't name God. God tells us his name. You know, some people, they want to define their own religion or their own philosophy or their own spirituality. They want to make a box and put God in it. They say, my God's this way or my God's that way. And I'm saying, no, that's not our job. There's one God and he tells us his name. You know, when we were born, our parents named us. And that's because they had authority over us and they raised us. I've named my children. Naming something or somebody is a sign of authority over them. So if we are trying to name God or put him in a place where we want him, it's us trying to exercise authority over God. We don't name God. He reveals his name to us. The second thing is God copyrights or trademarks his name. That's just a thing we say to understand. Now, if I wanted to, a few of you would work for a place where the name is not public property, right? Like, for example, if I wanted to go and start a burger store, I can't go out, call it McDonald's, put a yellow M above it, and think this is going to be great, this is going to help me sell burgers, because that will get me in trouble, because I have no right to use that name. It's not my name. God owns his own name. He will allow us to use it, but we need to use it according to his requirements, not ours. He doesn't, it's not like it's in law, but he has a trademark on his own name and how it is used. Now that word vain, if we look at the definition of that, it was actually different to what I thought it was when I looked it up. The main gist of that word vain is actually emptiness. It's lightly, without thinking, flippantly, and then on a second rung, it's profanely and deceitfully. But the main is emptiness, light. And there's a few different practical ways that we take his name in vain. For one, false promises. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, and then James, actually, Jesus' half-brother James backs it up later on in the scripture. He says, let your yes be yes, your no be no, and don't take an oath. And in the old times, they knew they weren't allowed to take God's name in vain. These are the Jews. So they used to, you know, swear on different things. So they used to say, I swear on the city of Jerusalem. Or, you know, they used to pick other things that they were allowed to do, and they sounded religious, so it made you sound good to other people, you know, but they weren't breaking the law because they weren't using God's name. And as you know, we tend to do the exact same things, and it is light. And you know, when people go into parliament or council or court, they swear on a Bible. And I don't know about you, but how many policies come out of parliament that aren't according to that word? And it's not like they even care. It's not like we can come up and say, didn't you read John? Didn't you read, you know, Ephesians? That's not in the Bible. And they go, I don't care. It's using God's name in vain. It's taking it lightly. It's empty. But, I mean, I've heard a lot of these myself. Like, I swear to God. I swear on a stack of Bibles. As God is my witness, cross my heart, You know, all reference back to using God's name in vain, lightly, empty. You know, we have to think about things. You know, it's more than just, God's word is more than bad word. Like God using this in his name in vain is more than just bad words. You know, it's how you are as a person. The second way is false prophecies. In Jeremiah 14:14, this is what he wrote. But the Lord said to me, these prophets are prophesying a lie in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them to speak to me. They are prophesying to you a false vision, worthless divination, the deceit of their own minds. So these prophets in the Old Testament, they were coming up and saying, my words are God's words. Thus saith the Lord, this is what will happen. And God's saying, they are making this stuff up. And we see this right now. Like, and you'd notice, like you think of end of the world teaching. God is going to come on this day. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says no man knows the hour or the day. It's false teaching. It's using the name of God in vain. Nobody knows that. It's written in the Word. And when we say, thus saith the Lord, or write a book that says God says this, we are only trying to increase our own credibility and therefore decreasing God's credibility. Because when something goes wrong, like God hasn't come back all those times that people predicted over and over and over again, the credibility of God is lower. And we use it just to try and, you know, increase our credibility, sell books, you know, make our name heard. You know, human society is a lot about making our name heard, and this commandment goes right against that. This commandment is all about God's name, not our name. The street version of this, like what we do, we say, the Lord told me. Now, I love prophecy. Paul says to eagerly, you know, seek the gift of prophecy, so there's nothing wrong with prophecy. But prophecy obviously has some very strict guidelines. Number one, it has to line up with the Word of God, the Bible, otherwise it's wrong. But a lot of people go around saying, the Lord told me. And my response to this is, God wrote a book and he said no. And what's even worse than this is that God told me to tell you. And I know I get frustrated when I say something and you hear it back from another person, it's different to what you said. And you looked in a bad light. You know, this happens to God too. You know, he says something and it's twisted, and we just have to be really careful about false prophecy, you know? We've been given guidelines about the Word of God, and the Word of God is true. And so, yeah, we can listen to God, but it has to line up with the words of Christ. Number three, false pretenses. There's a story, a parable in Matthew 11, which my father spoke to in his lawlessness CD, which is worth listening to. And so in the parable, in the story, they come up to God at judgment day and say, Lord, Lord, we did amazing works in your name. This is back to the name of God again. Our whole life was in your name. You know, we cast out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. But it wasn't for his name. They were using God's name for their own benefit. They were workers of lawlessness. You know, workers of lawlessness are people who have themselves first. And this happens, the false pretenses happens when your words and your works don't line up. When you're pretending. And, you know, we all struggle, and therefore, you know, we'll say we want to do something and don't necessarily do it. And, you know, that we have grace for that. But there's sometimes where people's words never line up with their works. It's just, they just are separate things. And that's false pretenses. It's taking the name of God in vain. And the fourth way we can take God's name in vain is false platitudes. And this is where we, you know, we say we're honouring God, but like the definition of vain, it's empty. And I think a lot of us are guilty of this one, you know. And, you know, I never try to pick on anyone. I just talk what I think and then work it out later. But, you know, to be vain, it was empty and light and inconsequential, where the God of the Bible is a God of glory. He is weighty, He is heavy. He is significant. And we take his name in vain when we treat him lightly or inconsequential or dismissive, when we make the God of the glorious God inglorious, and when we project him or present him in a matter of lightness. You know, he's a heavy God when we make him appear light. And, you know, when we make a big God appear small, when we make an amazing God appear ordinary, when we make a holy God appear common, like us. And there's a lot of religious talk and colloquialisms that lead to this. And I know I've heard, like, we're all in this one. So here we go. First one I hear a lot is praise the Lord. Now, praise the Lord is good, right? We're called to praise the Lord. But, you know, it's Tuesday, praise the Lord. We're having sausages for tea, praise the Lord. I got hit by a car, praise the Lord. You know, when we mention over and over and over again, it's not bringing weight to it. It's actually detracting, even though we're saying the right things, but it's bringing an emptiness to it. Lord have mercy, hallelujah, thank you Jesus. It's just trivialness. It's making God trivial, and he's not. He's weighty and heavy. You know, we live in a privileged time, a time different to when the Ten Commandments were written. And the time is that we actually know the Lord Jesus Christ as that person, that name. Jesus Christ, the name above all other names. Israelites didn't know that. You know, so we're privileged. And so in weighing ourselves today against this commandment of taking God's name in vain, I think a great scripture is one written after Jesus was on earth, which is Philippians 2, 5 to 11. And we talk from this scripture all the time because it's a great scripture about sonship. If we can start with Philippians 2, verses 5 to 6 first. It's about Christ's humility and his exaltation. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. He didn't sit up in heaven and say, I deserve glory and not humility. He didn't sit up there and say, I deserve wealth and not poverty. He didn't sit up there and say, I deserve the angels singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, rather than hearing people yell at him, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. He didn't sit up there saying, I deserve that. Instead, he let go of his rights. And he came down in verse 7 and 8. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And when we lift up the name of Christ, we are honoring a humble God. He substituted himself for us, and he died for our sins. We violated the first commandment. We put gods in front of him. We violated the second commandment. We worshipped other gods rather than him. But he said, Father, forgive them. So he was the sacrifice who came to pay for our sins that were actually against him. They weren't sins against somebody else. The sins were against him. And he came down, humbled himself, sacrificed himself, and said, Father, forgive them. And there's no God like him. And then Paul goes on. See, Paul wants to make him big. We're talking about vain is making it light and empty. But Paul wants to make him big and make his name high and glorify him. And so in verse 9 it says, for this reason God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every other name. So it's back to the name of God. The problem in our world is we like our name being remembered. You know, my name is Philip. Remember my name. Don't forget my name. Follow me on social media. Look at me on Facebook. Look at the places I go and the things I eat, the people I know. Why don't you check out the bands I listen to and the videos I like to see, the books I read? Why don't you become my friend? You get to know more about me. You get to know my name, know who I am, how I feel and where I've been. Pay attention to me, my hurts, my dreams, my wants and my needs and my ambitions. But God's saying, no, you're not the most important. It's not your name. But we live in a society that is addicted to self. We're a self-addiction society. We have self-actualization, self-worship, self-glory, self-help, and self-ease. And it's all idolatry, because the world these days is God's going to make me the best person I can be, or God's going to make me do the best that I can do. It's taking the name of God in vain, and it's using God for your glory instead of serving God for his glory. Verse 10, so at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. You know, one day every knee will bow to him. It's not a question of who or who won't bow to God. Everyone will bow. Everyone will confess that name. You know, we have the opportunity to do it now. Sorry, I'll move on. Exodus 20, 8-11, commandment number 4. It's about the Sabbath day. And this one's a hard one, because Christians don't understand commandment number 4. It's difficult. We get number first 3, we've nailed them. Like, even though we think we do all right, and even though we might fail sometimes, at least we try. The next 6 are the same. We understand them. You know, honor your father and mother. Yeah. Do not kill. Do not lie. Do not steal. Number 4 is hard. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You are to labor 6 days and do all your work, but the 7th day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. You must not do any work, you, your son or daughter, your male or female slave or employee, your livestock, or the foreigner who is within your gates. For the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas and everything in them in 6 days, then he rested on the 7th. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and declared it holy. You know, that's quite a long list. It means that if you've got someone staying in your house, might be a Muslim, foreigner, they want to do